Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies, if your boyfriend isn't listening to B-Spec,
Brian Spector,
then reach over and grab his knob and turn it up.
We ready! We ready! We ready!
Football fans, it's that time for the NFL Spectacular with B-Spec, Brian Spector.
You know Big Papi.
If you want to get in on the show, then dial 347-945-6275. Or, for all you computer nerds, you can go online at NFLDraftBible.com.
Spector always delivers what he promises.
He's your resident football expert.
Are you serious?
Nalen couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat.
He's the king of the combine.
The guy runs the 40-yard dash in 4 forever.
He's the voice of the angry fan.
If that happens, I might as well go hang myself with wax dental floss.
He's B-Spec, Brian Spector.
Yes! Yes! Oh, yes!
I'm absolutely, without a doubt, a true believer.
And he's on right now on the All Access Football Network.
Set your pie hole! We're working here!
Let's get ready to rumble!
Do you think anybody associated with Brett Favre in any way, even if you're a fan or not, is ready to go hang themselves with wax dental floss? Seriously. Because it comes out now, and I know we're beating this story with a stick, but Brett last week tells Brad Childress, I'm not going to play for the Vikings. I don't want to play. John Clayton from ESPN reports that Brett Favre is not going to play. But then, about 12 hours later, Brett Favre decides to send his x-rays to the Minnesota Vikings. The x-rays of his shoulder, his elbow, everything on that throwing arm. So if anybody actually believes that Brett Favre is not going to come back, it's full of crap. Brett Favre will be in a Minnesota Vikings uniform. And there's one positive to Brett Favre coming back. It gives us a lot of great material, a lot of stuff to talk about. But I am so sick and tired of Brett Favre. Is anybody else out there really sick of hearing about Brett Favre? The guy needs to disappear and not come back. What he's doing, he's not hurting himself as a player. He's still going down as one of the greats to ever play the game. He's just stupid enough to tarnish his name. And I said this last show, you didn't see Joe Montana or Dan Marino or John Elway, Steve Young, Roger Staubach. And we can go over and over all the great quarterbacks that have never caused the rift that Brett Favre is creating on a constant basis. He's going to be 40 years old. Ziggy Wilf's brother, the president of the Minnesota Vikings, Mark Wilf, comes out and says, we would love to have Brett Favre. No kidding. Who wouldn't want to have Brett Favre on their team? But let's not forget, Brett Favre is going to be 40 years old when the football season starts. Maybe they're getting desperate in Minnesota. Brad Childress, every coach never lives to see his contract year. They either get an extension or they get fired. So this is a make-or-break year for Brad Childress. Yes, they got to the playoffs. Are they a desperate team? Maybe. Adrian Peterson, Bernard Berrien, T. Harvin, Sidney Rice. They have some players on that team. But let's not forget, you drafted Tavares Jackson a couple of years ago, and Tavares was among the best quarterbacks in the league at the end of last season. Last four games of the year, he played lights out when Gus Frat got injured in Minnesota. So I don't understand the desperation, the urgency. Maybe Minnesota doesn't feel they have a quarterback. Have you given Tavares Jackson every opportunity? A lot of players, the light goes on in year three. Chicago has Jay Cutler. Green Bay has Aaron Rodgers. Detroit drafts Matthew Stafford. So maybe a little bit of desperation is starting to settle in. They want to get that name in Minnesota. A sexy name. But let's remember, Brett Favre is going to be 40. Jay Cutler's 25. Aaron Rodgers is 25. Matthew Stafford, 21. All those quarterbacks I just named are young franchise quarterbacks that are going to be with their teams for a long time to come and be there to help build things. You're looking for a one-year fix in Brett Favre, there's no guarantee. There are no guarantees, especially in the NFC. Arizona's still going to be there. Philadelphia, the Giants, Green Bay is going to bounce back. You are not the lone team and you're one piece away. You're going to get a lot of competition. You may not win the division this year. Minnesota did win the division last year. They may not win it this year with or without Brett Favre. There are going to be a lot of question marks. The X-ray is going to Minnesota. There's nothing to read into, folks. He's coming back to play. And my advice to Brett, if he's coming back, or should I say when he comes back, is be there from the beginning. Get to know your teammates. Take part in OTAs. Build rapport with your wide receivers. Work out before practice, after practice, and show a true commitment to want to be there. Brett did not show a true commitment to the New York Jets organization last season. And the kind of quarterback Brett Favre is right now, it is still interception after interception. He's going to go for the big play. He's going to make big plays. But with that comes a lot of turnovers, a lot of interceptions. You have to be prepared for that. Brett Favre is not the best friend of your team defense because you're going to be on the field a lot. And that has to be taken into effect. I'm just sick and tired of the whole Brett Favre saga. Make a decision, come back, play. Great, terrific. His former offensive coordinator is in Minnesota. We all know that. That's where he wanted to go last year. The guy's got nothing left to prove, and I don't understand it. And someone that would definitely agree with me. Oh, he's going to agree with me on this. Dan, I know you're in agreement with me on this Brett Favre situation, aren't you?
Well, I actually, if I can for a second, I may do a 180 with you because, you, as you know, we have NFLDraftBible.com, College Football Insiders, Fantasy Football Insiders. I believe we may be launching BrettFarveInsiders.com where you can get your Brett Favre information every single day. How about that? He's become a sport unto himself.
Do we have a personal Brett Favre gift shop? Get your whining Brett Favre bitch doll.
Yeah, we will have a personal shop where you can dress him in the uniform of your choice. You can put him in any team.
He comes in 10 different voices each time you pull the string. You get a different line, right?
I will retire, I will not retire, and 10 variations of each of those.
I'm in love with Ted Thompson. I can't stand Ted Thompson. Seriously, at this point right now, what is the one reason he's coming back? His one reason for playing football, he's got nothing to prove. He's broken records. He's won a Super Bowl title, okay? Can you argue with me on the fact that his one reason for coming back is to try and stick it in the eye of Ted Thompson, the Green Bay Packers?
I think so. I think he goes tonight at night dreaming about throwing a game-winning fourth-quarter touchdown pass in Lambeau Field and running down the field, and instead of pointing at his wide receiver like he typically would have done, he's pointing up in the owner's box or the GM's box at Ted Thompson and saying, "That's for you, brother." It seems like that's what he wants to do. It seems like that's what's pushing him, which is kind of sad because throughout his career, I think what people loved about Brett Favre was how much he loved the game of football and how much he played it with a kid's passion. It was very genuine. It wasn't contrived like some players try to make it out to be. And I think that's part of the attraction to Brett Favre and why so many people loved him. But now it doesn't seem like that's his motivation because even last year, he didn't seem to have that passion, particularly late in the season with the Jets. And for him not to feel that and see that and want to come back, you got to think revenge in Green Bay and Ted Thompson, like you said, is the driving force right now.
And you know what, Dan? He has nothing left to accomplish. He's going to be 40 years old at the start of the season. I mentioned it early in the opening segment. You look at Joe Montana, Dan Marino, John Elway, Steve Young. We can go up and down and name a lot of franchise quarterbacks, 60s, 70s, 80s, whatever it is. And nobody has caused all the drama that Brett Favre has caused. What's wrong with stepping away? Dan Marino never won a title. He was able to accept that, hey, my time has come, it's time to step away. And his passion clearly wasn't there last year. And if he comes into a team like Minnesota, Dan, he's got to take part in OTAs. He's got to hang out with his teammates, get to know his teammates. And he made a comment a few weeks ago where he goes, "Well, you know, my daughter," and I understand this when it comes to family, moving my daughter up there and putting her in a different school, that's fine, we understand that. But then he goes ahead and he sends his x-rays up after he tells Coach Childress, "I'm not going to play." Everything is a constant contradiction of a previous action. I mean, what is going through this guy's mind?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is, if you're not going to Minnesota, why are you even having this conversation with their coach? I mean, did you call Tampa to tell them you're staying retired? Did you call the Oakland Raiders to tell them that you're still retired? Did you call the St. Louis Rams to tell them that you're still retired? Unless you're planning on going there, or at least it's a 50-50 shot that you're going to go there, why even have that conversation? To me, right there, that leads me to believe that he will come back there, barring some sort of major injury with his arm. And I agree with you. I think if he does do it, he should do it the right way. And the linebacker, Chad Greenway, kind of called him out from the Vikings saying, you know, he basically said he really doesn't want Favre. He doesn't want somebody here that is not going to be there for the OTAs, that's not going to be there for all that stuff. I mean, if you're going to be the leader of the team, if you're going to be the quarterback, you know, it's one thing to just walk out there at the last second and pump up the fans. But can you be that, even if you're Brett Favre, can you be that immediate leader in the huddle if the other guys there don't feel you know, your heart is completely into it or don't believe you're there for the right reasons? You know, are you there because you want to be a Minnesota Viking or are you there for other motives? And, you know, I think that's the one thing that I felt, you know, locally hearing from Jet players was they would feel kind of saddened if they knew that, you know, the Jets were kind of like his second choice and his backup choice, which I think the reality is that they were. If he could have gone to Minnesota, there's no way he would have came to New York. And I think guys in Minnesota see what happened in New York and are thinking, hey, is the same thing going to happen here where this guy is just kind of doesn't know what to do with himself, so he's showing up here. I mean, these other players are in their prime and given their 100% to being football players in 2009, and they expect that from everybody else on the team, particularly the guy that's supposed to be the team leader.
And you know what? I was thinking about this also, and I also mentioned this in the opening segment. How many NFL coaches do you know that go into their contract year with a job? They either get fired before their contract expires, or they're going to get an extension before their contract year. Brad Childress is coming into that year where it's his contract year. He hasn't gotten the extension. So maybe there's a lot of pressure on Brad Childress to do something. And what I don't get, Dan, is Tavares Jackson. He's going into year three right now. You got to give quarterbacks time to develop. I mean, what are the Detroit Lions going to start ripping on Matthew Stafford if he starts having a couple bad games as a rookie? And Tavares Jackson last year, the last 4 weeks of the season, you can argue, was one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL. So maybe Brad Childress' job is on the line. And also the fact you look at Jay Cutler, 24 years old in Chicago, Aaron Rodgers, 25 in Green Bay, Lions just draft Stafford. If that's the case, why not let Tavares Jackson take over? He's another 23-year-old kid, 24 years old, ready to take over. You won the division last year with him down the stretch. I think you're taking steps back by bringing in Favre, and nobody on the team knows what's even going on.
Yeah, I mean, he's going in, as you mentioned, the lame duck status, which every coach hates to have around his neck going into that season, particularly in a season where there's going to be high expectations. And, I don't know where to go with that in terms of their quarterback situation. I mean, I'm not a huge Tavares Jackson fan myself, even from coming out of school. He's shown glimpses here and there, and you are right. I mean, it does take time for quarterbacks to develop. You can point to a lot of successful quarterbacks who did not have early success. In fact, it's funny that I read a quote where Peyton Manning said he wanted Stafford to start from day one because he's hoping somebody could break the interception record for a rookie that he set when he was a rookie. So, yeah, you know, you do need to give these guys time if you do believe in them. I'm not a big believer myself of Tavares Jackson. You also have Sage Rosenfeld in the mix. So I'm not sure what the right answer is in terms of who would be the best guy for this year, but I agree you're definitely taking a one-year shot, and it could set you back. And look at what it did to the Jets. You know, made the Jets desperate to the point where they traded up to, you know, get Mark Sanchez and give him a whole lot of money. And basically now they're putting, you know, all their faith in Sanchez and hoping he's the guy. But part of the reason they were in such desperate, dire straits and so desperate was because they were stuck with Kellen Clemens and Brett Ratliff as a result of bringing in Brett Favre for 1 year.
Yeah, and what people don't realize, too, and we're joined by Dan Moglione from the NFL College Football Insider and the NFL Draft Bible. And Dan, like I said before, Minnesota. Brett Favre going to Minnesota doesn't make the Vikings a contender all of a sudden. It doesn't. Yes, they won the division last year. Yes, they had a good season. They got in the playoffs behind the running of Adrian Peterson. When you look at the NFC, Arizona is still the defending champs. The Eagles took them to the grindstone all the way to the end. You have the Giants. The Cowboys are still going to be relatively tough. Green Bay is going to be back. They're going to be tough also going to that 3-4 defense. There's going to be a lot of competition. The Atlanta Falcons, Brett Favre in Minnesota doesn't put them as the cream of the crop.
No, I think he puts them in the mix. Well, I think they're in the mix already because of their defense, because of their running game. I don't think he's necessarily the piece that's going to put them over the top by any means. I think they're in a similar boat with him or without him. I guess the positive maybe you could say is, well, with Minnesota, with the way they play, maybe he won't have to throw the ball as often. The weight of the game won't be on his shoulders as much, and therefore maybe he'll be a little fresher towards the end of the season. But you know what's something else in the mix? I haven't got a chance to look up the record recently, but I don't know if you remember this. Didn't Brett Favre always have trouble playing in domes, like throughout his career? Didn't he have a losing record playing in dome stadiums throughout his career? If I remember right, he had a lot of his bad games playing in domes. He seemed to be a guy that always thrived playing in the elements.
Well, that's true. And he also, the one thing about Brett Favre is that he's always been a thorn in the side of the Minnesota Vikings. He had a lot of success playing in that Metrodome in Minnesota. So I guess some people think because he played well in that particular dome, he can come there and play, and all of a sudden he's going to have an MVP season.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's the case at all. I think the best thing, like I said, going for him there would be the fact that they're such a run-oriented team, run-dominant team. So, you know, if you believe in that he's only got X amount of bullets left in that right arm of his, maybe, you know, the fact that he's on a ball club where he won't need to throw the ball as much will benefit him heading down the stretch of the season. But, you know, there's no question that, you know, here in New York, he went, I believe they were 8-3 at one point. They had won the game in New England. They were coming off the game where they basically throttled the number one seed Tennessee Titans in Tennessee, and people were starting to talk about the Jets as a potential Super Bowl contender. And that point forward, they really floundered. And yeah, their running game struggled, but Brett Favre stunk. There's no other way to put it. There's no way to put a bow around it. He was horrible the last five, six games of the season, and that's a big reason why the Jets, you know, not only weren't they Super Bowl contenders or division champs, they weren't even good enough to make a wild card when it was all said and done, and they sent the Miami Dolphins to the playoffs with a home loss in Week 17, and Brett Favre was awful those last few weeks. There's no other way to put it.
Yeah, and right now he's working out again at the local high school in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and he hired a personal trainer. Dan, this last question for you, and then we'll get off the whole Brett Favre subject. There's a lot to talk about with it. Does Brett Favre, now that he hired the personal trainer, a former NFL quarterbacks coach, let's say now it's a personal trainer, working out the high school again, sends the x-rays up north to Minnesota, he's coming back?
Yeah, I have no doubt. I have no doubt at all he's coming back. To me, before, you know, as soon as he said, Brian, are you still there?
I am still here, my friend.
Okay. As soon as he said he was retired, to me, that was better than 50-50 that he was going to stay retired. So, you know, he's one of those guys. I gotta come to opening day and have him not be there to actually believe he's going to be retired.
There you go. And now moving on, we talked briefly about the Jets before and Mark Sanchez. We know the problem that Thomas Jones has with his contract, and I don't really fault the Jets on this. Thomas Jones is going to be 32 years old. To get a big contract 32 years old as a running back is not going to happen. You look at LT trying to get that new deal with San Diego, new three-year deal. He's pushing 30, and that's LT. So Thomas Jones is not going to get a big deal at going to be 32 years old when this season starts. So he's in a little bit of a riff with his contract with the Jets. Also now, it's being reported that Leon Washington, their third down back, their scat back, is disgruntled too with his contract situation. I know the Jets drafted Sean Green. How much of a problem can this be when you have a rookie quarterback and Thomas Jones and Leon Washington both unhappy to have a rookie running back, a rookie quarterback, and a suspect offensive line? I know the Jets made a lot of moves, Dan, but I think the Jets could be in a lot of trouble this season.
Well, I mean, with those two guys, I think the key is to take care of Leon Washington. He's the guy that you want to keep. He's the guy that you can build around with Sean Green at the running back position. And, in fact, you know, in my opinion, because they traded up and gave up three picks to get Sean Green, they basically used three picks to draft Sean Green, you almost need him to be an integral part of the offense. Otherwise, why did you do all that to get the running back? And, you know, this is a position where typically if you're good, you step in and you contribute right away. It's not like quarterback where you might groom the guy, or receiver where they say wait to the third year. Typically running backs are ready to play in, you know, day one. We had three guys last year run for about, you know, 1,300 yards as rookies, and some of them were mid-round picks. They weren't all first-round picks. So I don't have a problem with Sean Green playing a big role, but I think you definitely have to take care of Mr. Leon Washington, who right now, being the fact that they don't have a dynamic receiver, he is your most dynamic offensive weapon. And I agree with what you said with Thomas Jones. I mean, he's aging. He's getting up there. He's only got about 2 years left on his current deal. And I understand his perspective, too. You know, he knows he's aging. He knows he's getting up there. He knows, you know, hey, I'm coming off the year where I led the AFC in rushing, which is kind of overrated. It's more about guys like LaDainian Tomlinson coming down to earth, not Thomas Jones elevating his game that much. He just happened to finish first. But I think he views it as, hey, this is my last best chance to get a bigger contract. So I understand his perspective, but you definitely understand the Jets' perspective, and I would not be surprised to see him suiting up somewhere else in 2009 and the Jets, you know, taking care of Lee in Washington and having him and Sean Green as their 1-2 punch.
Now, the Jets can run into a problem, though, if they have an unhappy Leon Washington. The one thing with this team, Dan, is they have no depth whatsoever.
Yeah, no, he's the guy that they have to take care of. To me, when you put those two guys out there and you say, hey, these two guys are disgruntled, they're not showing up for the training, the one guy you have to take care of out of those two is Leon Washington. I believe he led the NFL last year in total all-purpose yards. You know, when you factor in the kick and punt returning, he's a dynamic player. He's a guy I've always felt that they should use a little more on the offensive side of the ball. You know, you don't want to overuse him, but, you know, I've always felt he could get a couple more touches, and I believe, you know, during that, you know, going back to what they did last season, I believe he had about, you know, 8 or 9 carries for 100 yards in that Tennessee Titan game. And the next 4 or 5 games combined, he had about 10 carries. So he was kind of underutilized during that losing stretch down the stretch of the season. But he's definitely a guy, especially when you factor in that they don't have a dynamic receiver. Right now, Jericho Cotchery is the number one receiver as we stand today. And behind him, there is not one single proven player. So Leon Washington becomes that much more valuable to a team like the Jets. Now, you hear rumors of potentially some sort of deal involving Thomas Jones and Braylon Edwards. I'd have to assume the Jets would have to give up some sort of pick in that as well. I think, you know, if that was ever to be a one-for-one, I think it would be an absolute steal. But Eric Mangini seems to value a lot of these Jet players more than anybody else around the league. You know, I don't think anybody was knocking down the Jets' door for Abram Elam or Kenyon Coleman. But, he, you know, apparently he wanted them a lot and was willing to give up that 5th pick. So I think that would be a marriage made in heaven for the Jets if they could somehow package Jones with something, get, you know, kind of get rid of that problem and then bring in somebody like Braylon Edwards to help their receiver issue.
Well, you know the Jets have to make a move for a receiver, and you and I both know that Braylon Edwards will not be in a Cleveland Browns uniform this season. If that deal happens to come through, or there's any other kind of deal for Braylon Edwards, let's call a spade, Dan. It's going to have to be a lot more than a Thomas Jones-type player and another player. You're going to be talking about probably of 2 veterans and at least 2 draft picks for a guy of that magnitude. I just don't think the Jets can give it up. They don't have any draft picks to give. You name me a team that has made trade after trade through the draft and giving away a lot of draft picks, not having 2 and 3 draft picks every year that has come out and been successful. There
no.
aren't any.
You're right. You know, you're right. It's not, you know, it's something that you can do once in a while or, you know, to fit a particular need. But if you do it continuously year after year after year, it's going to affect your depth. There's no doubt about it that if you continue to use your picks, you know, either to bring in veteran players, which the Jets have obviously done, or if, you know, they lost a pick because they brought in Brett Favre last year, they lost a pick for bringing in Lito Shepard this year, or if you lose picks to move up. You know, and sometimes it works. You know, they moved up to get Darrelle Revis. They moved up to get David Harris. Those picks turned out to be pretty solid, particularly the Revis one is coming off a Pro Bowl season. They've used picks this year to move up to trade Sanchez and Sean Green. It hurts your depth, and it also means that you better be darn right when you get these guys. I mean, looking at the last draft, you know, it almost appears that the Jets went into the draft saying, hey, there's only 2 players in this draft. There's Mark Sanchez and there's Sean Green, and we don't need anybody else. You know, that seems to be what it worked. And, you know, when you see a team like New England multiply their picks both for this year as well as for next season, and then the Jets go into the draft with only 6 and end up having only 3, yeah, that to me, in my opinion, that's not a recipe to winning. And I'm stunned by basically every other publication, website, TV show, they're all giving the Jets an A for their draft. And, I mean, if you're going to give them an A, Mark Sanchez better turn out to be John Elway.
You know, and we'll get off this right now, but with all these people grading the draft, these guys haven't even stepped on the field yet. I'm so tired of watching grades. You know, come on. That's like saying your kid is going to be punished for something they're going to do, but I don't have any children. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Seriously, this is just so stupid. What is our business coming to? You see it on ESPN all the time where they come up with these stupid games, these stupid ideas, because there's nothing to talk about. I guess you really do call it the dog days of summer, and I guess now speaking of the dog days of summer, Dan, Kellen Winslow gets his trade to Tampa Bay. He doesn't show up to the first day of OTAs with his teammates. You find that a big mistake?
I mean, I think he should be there. You know what I mean? You're going to a new team, and like I said with Brett Favre, you know, the other guys, you know, most of these guys are giving it their all and putting all their dedication to the game of football, to the upcoming season. And, you know, football is a sport. It's different than any other sport. I mean, you know, in baseball, you can dog it when you're running the bases. You can dog it when you're running after a fly ball. In basketball, you cannot hustle back, you know, on defense and stuff like that. But in football, man, if you don't give it your all, you get your butt whipped. And sometimes your teammate gets their butt whipped if you don't give it your all. So I think guys really need to believe in one another. And, you know, it's I think you should be there. You know what I mean? If you're going to be a marquee guy on the team, if you're going to be one of the higher paid guys on the team, I think that comes along with it. You should be there to endear yourself to your teammates and set an example for the younger guys on the team.
And we're joined by Dan Moglione from the College Football Insider from the NFL Draft Bible. And, Dan, before I let you go, I want to ask you one more thing. Supposedly, Eric Mangini and the Cleveland Browns got two substantial offers for Brady Quinn, keeping them both down. Now you're going back into camp with Quinn, Anderson, Quinn. It's going to go back and forth. The Browns need to make a decision and stick with the quarterback. If they turn down two offers for Brady Quinn, does that mean Brady Quinn is their front runner? And if so, why not try and trade Derek Anderson? Both guys are making a lot of money. Why go in with both guys, make one guy the backup, and then have that whole inside the locker room riff again? Because that's what's gonna end up happening. You know, is Brady Quinn their starter if they turn down two substantial offers from two other NFL teams?
Yeah, if those reports are accurate, assuming they're accurate, you'd have to think that. You would certainly have to think that. Like you said, the ideal situation, you'd like to have two quarterbacks in this league, but you'd also like to have a clear cut who your one is, who your number two is. And just from a value standpoint, if somebody's going to be your number two, even though it's nice to have that luxury, the Cleveland Browns are not a team that can afford that luxury if they could turn that number two quarterback into added picks, added value, added players elsewhere. This team has a lot of needs it needs to address. So if they decided to keep Quinn and turn down high picks or good players in return, that definitely speaks to me, the fact that they think he's the guy. That's not surprising to me for a couple of reasons. One, Derek Anderson is, you know, he had a good year last year. He's a guy I've never been a big Derek Anderson fan, even when he was having that big year. I think he's a high mistake guy, which is not going to endear himself to a guy like Mangini. And then, you know, you also have the Charlie Weiss factor. I mean, you know, Charlie Weiss spoke to Romeo when his ex-New England cohort, when they made the Brady Quinn pick, and now Mancini is another ex-New England guy who knows Charlie, and I'm sure he's spoken to him about Quinn. I kind of like Brady Quinn myself. I mean, we talk about Tavares Jackson and not getting his shot. Quinn really hasn't gotten a shot. And let's not forget, too, he wanted Mr. Ratliff in that deal when they made the switch of the picks with the Jets and the Browns, 5-17. The quarterback Ratliff, undrafted out of Utah, was included in that deal, and Mangini must have seen something in him that he likes and maybe thinks he could be that backup guy down the road, either this year or the year after. But certainly, sooner or later, they're going to have to fix that situation and go with one quarterback. I agree with you. I'd prefer to have it sooner so the team knows what's going on. You got two guys trying to establish themselves. It's hard enough when it's Steve Young and Joe Montana looking over each other's shoulders, or Phil Simms and Jeff Hostetler, but it's even that much more difficult when you got a couple guys that are pretty unproven.
Yeah, I was going to say, we can't really compare Brady Quinn and Derek Anderson to Simms and Hostetler.
Well, yeah, but
Montana and Young.
No, but that's my point. I mean, you know, it's hard enough. You know, you're nervous as it is that you want to prove yourself that you're an NFL quarterback. Now, think if you have to do that and look over your shoulder at the same time.
Right, and you know, and you made a great point, too. But before I let you go, Dan, is Brady Quinn the answer? And I only say that right now because Brady Quinn is more of a West Coast quarterback, short passes, nothing down the field. As of right now, the Cleveland Browns have Braylon Edwards, Joe Jurevicius, Dante Stallworth. They're speed receivers that are great down the field. And Brady Quinn is not that guy that throws the ball down the field. That is Derek Anderson.
Well, how long are those guys going to be there? I mean, as far as I'm concerned, Stallworth is off the team. He's never going to play for the Browns again. And we've talked about the fact that Edwards could be on the way out, and it wouldn't be surprising to see him somewhere else in 2009. So who's stepping up? Who's the guys that are coming in? Jurevicius is an aging guy, but they did draft Muhammad Mostaqua this season. They did draft Brian Rubisky this season, who are more of those big West Coast type receivers. So I think those guys fit better with Quinn moving down the road, as well as my guy Martin Rucker stepping in his second year as tight end.
There you go. Some good points. And always bringing it strong, Dan Moglio. Dan, I know you're busy, you have a lot of stuff to do, but as always, my friend, I always appreciate your input, your insight here on the show, and I'm sure I'll be talking to you very soon, my friend.
I love coming on, Brian. Anytime. I'm going to be heading out to the Mets game today, and as you mentioned, with ESPN and all the extras they have, I will not be, unlike many sports fans, I will not be walking around the stadium checking out this and that. I will be sitting in my seat watching every pitch, and I want to implore sports fans out there, guys, watch the games, you know what I mean? I feel like people go to games to do the other stuff. I like to go to games to watch the game. Just it's the same reason why I don't watch SportsCenter as much as you brought up earlier. I used to like to watch SportsCenter to watch the highlights of the games. Now they give me all this other stuff. I'm not looking for that. I'm not looking for the glitz and the glamour and the pizzazz and the gimmicks and the sponsors. I just want sports.
Of course not. You're going to go to the baseball games and watch all the players get syringed right in the right butt cheek. There you go.
I'm not working the game, so I'm not going to the locker room, you know.
Thanks again, my friend. Always a pleasure.
All right, brother.
All right, buddy. Dan Moglio from the College Football Insiders and the NFL Draft Bible. You heard he's going to go to the Met game. He's going to watch baseball players take a syringe to the right butt cheek. That's what he's going to do. He's going to go watch baseball. He's not going to watch baseball. He's going to watch guys taking steroids. Another guy that knows his stuff, but I know for a fact, does not take steroids and is not a big baseball fan. He's a big football fan, like myself and everybody else here, the NFL Draft Bible, and that's Justin Van Fulpen. And Justin will not be at a Detroit Tigers baseball game watching people get roided up. Right, Justin?
Dad wasn't on steroids.
Dan's gonna go to the Met game. He's gonna watch players get roided out.
Gotcha.
Well, you know, it's funny really fast because I was having this discussion on my show earlier in Miami with O, is the fact that, you know, what's left in the sport of baseball with all the steroid controversy, the power hitters, what's left? Griffey, Pujols, and a guy in your neck of the woods in Cabrera. Is it only a matter of time before these guys are getting steroid talk too, you know?
Well, you know, I think the biggest thing is, and the same thing with football, you know, you had Sean Merriman a couple years ago get banned for 4 games, is that a lot of these things, you know, you can buy at a GNC or, you know, or as far as, you know, on the internet and different things like that. And I think the guys aren't responsible enough to know what they're putting in their body. We see the star caps here in the NFL with the guys like Pat Williams and Kevin Williams and Deuce McAllister, you know, and the list goes on there with those players, is that they're not, they see, okay, hey, this is at GNC or, you know, and I think, you know, as far as the NFL, you know, has a, you know, a stringent drug testing program, same with Major League Baseball, but these guys don't really check into seeing what, you know, they're really putting in their body, and I think sometimes they are ignorant, you know, but sometimes they know what they're doing, you know, and who, you know, who is ignorant, who knows what they're doing. I mean, I don't know, you know, I don't think we can put our finger on that, but, you know, I think for the most part, you know, we're seeing a lot of people who don't know what they're doing and are just taking things that, you know, they see, hey, this is going to rip me up, you know, as far as, because now the NFL is talking about banning hydroxycut, you know, we've seen many commercials for those, and so guys just say, hey, I got to lose weight, got to make weight, so I'm going to do whatever I can, you know, do to you know, for keep my bonus money so I don't have to start paying that money back like a Mike Williams or a Sean Rogers had to do in Detroit.
Yeah, and you make a great point, too, and folks, joined by Justin Van Fulpen from the NFL Draft Bible, does a terrific job covering all of college, and his work is absolutely terrific. You should check it out on the website. And, Justin, what I wanted to mention with that point you made, a lot of players do take stuff. They don't read the labels, and you know what? It's like you always tell people of any age, always think before you act. Even with players, especially with the policies today in sports, read the label, and that's what you have team trainers and team doctors for. Hey, doc, take a look at this label with me. Is there anything in here that it may not be drugs, but is there something in here that could trigger a potential drug test and lose money? People don't have the common decency to inquire and ask, and that's part of the problem with today's athletes as well.
Oh, I think definitely. You know, like you said, they don't you know, look at their labels. They don't take it to the trainer saying, "Hey, what's this going to do to me?" You know, and they just go ahead. Hey, a lot of times they feel like they're invincible, and you know, I think that's where a lot of them get in trouble.
I think we should get off the steroid talk. How about you?
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
You know what? I've had enough of hearing about Roger Clemens and this Roy and that Roy. If I hear any more about steroids, I swear it's like in my open, and you'll hang yourself with wax dental floss. I don't know how many times you could talk about steroids of any magnitude, like it's beating up a dead issue, you know?
That's true. I mean, but like you said, I mean, it's in our culture with, you know, with Manny Ramirez, with Roger Clemens, and, you know, it's in the NFL too.
And it's just a shame because it's happening in high schools and junior high, kids whose bodies haven't fully developed, and you're taking them at 15 and 17 and 18 and aren't aware of the side effects, and that goes back to school systems as well. There just has to be a better job overall between teams, athletes, high schools, colleges, and really preaching the after effect of all the stuff that people put in their bodies.
Definitely, for sure.
So, you think Brett Favre is going to come to the NFC North? I mean, Justin, this is just a joke. It really is. Maybe it's because Brad Childress, I mentioned this earlier to Dan Moglione, is the fact that maybe Childress is a lame duck head coach, because you know as well as I do that every coach never goes into the final year of his contract with uncertainty, which means he's either going to get an extension the year before or he's going to get fired the year before. Childress is now that lame duck coach. They've got talent around on the outside. They draft Percy Harvin, Bernard Berrien, Sidney Rice, Adrian Peterson running the football. You know, Brett Favre is going to be 40 years old, and maybe they're feeling the pressure now. You got 24-year-old Jay Cutler in Chicago, a 21-year-old Matt Stafford in Detroit, and you have a 26-year-old Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. Minnesota, I know, won the division, but why not just believe in Tavares Jackson? You draft him for a reason. It's his third year in the league. A lot of guys turn the light on in year three. There's a big risk by taking Favre and him sending the x-rays to Minnesota after he says he's not playing. It's constant contradiction. What are your thoughts on this whole ordeal?
Well, I think the biggest thing is Brett Favre wants to play. He wants to stick it to Green Bay. The best way to do that is go to Minnesota, like you had mentioned, the talent that they have there, as far as, you know, on the defensive side with the Williams boys, as far as running back and Adrian Peterson. And, you know, I think he wants to stick it to Minnesota. He stick it to Green Bay. He wanted to be in Minnesota last year, as far as the Packers wouldn't let him do that. Said, okay, fine, I'll go to the Jets. You know, the Jets, he plays 1 year, plays good at the beginning, but then kind of tailed off at the end with the shoulder injury. You know, now he's got that chance to go back and stick it to Ted Thompson and to, you know, as far as all those Green Bay haters who kind of ran him out. He thought I'm the king cheesehead there in Green Bay, and people were like, hey, you know, Ted Thompson, hey, we're moving out. We're going with Aaron Rodgers. He's our guy. Mike McCarthy said, hey, this is a quarterback I want to run my offense. Now, true, the Packers were 5-11, and we're picking in the top 10. And, you know, Brett Favre looked like, he had the Jets close to the playoffs. And I think he wants to go to Minnesota. I think he will go to Minnesota if he doesn't have to have surgery, you know, but I don't think he's signing until June. He wants to miss the OTAs, the mini camps, doesn't want to do all that off-season training, wants to come in there, learn the offense. The offense is pretty similar to what he had in Green Bay as far as Childress was there with Marty Morningweg, with Andy Reid, as far as installing it in Philadelphia, similar to what they had in Green Bay. So I think what's all said and done, it's going to be about that shoulder. Does he need to have, you know, as far as a major surgery, or can he have a minor procedure, or can he just rest the shoulder and then come sign in June and start throwing the ball there in the Metrodome?
You see, Justin, and that's the problem, because I know he's going to be 40 when this season starts, but if you're going to go to Minnesota, you have to be – Chad Greenway made a great point. You need to be committed from the beginning. You know, get to know your teammates. Don't stay secluded. Playing in the NFL is the OTAs. You know, that's in the NFL. I mean, if that was the case, every player would disappear in January, and they wouldn't come back until July. Most players stick with their team year-round. They're working out. They're studying. They're coming up with gimmick plays, new offensive schemes, new defensive schemes. And there's no reason for Brett that's being selfish. You know, he's going to go to a team that won the division last year, showed their commitment, show how they're right on the cusp. And Brett has to realize, too, hey, I'm going to Minnesota. That's fine. Minnesota's not a gimme to get the Super Bowl. Green Bay had a bad year. They're going to be improved. And Favre can say whatever they want. Green Bay didn't struggle last year because of Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers had a good year statistically. It was the defense that was a big part of the problem, which is also why they're adjusting and going to the 3-4. But when you look at Philadelphia, the Giants, Dallas, Arizona, Green Bay, Atlanta, New Orleans, I mean, there's going to be a lot of competition in that NFC. So Brett Favre has to check that ego at the door and say, you know what, I'm a great quarterback. Nobody's going to take that away from me. But all he's doing is he's destroying his reputation.
Well, I think he did that last year, you know, and now it's just it's kind of a you know comical of what he's doing again. And I think you know one team you mentioned, which is in the NFC North, is the Chicago Bears. They got Jay Cutler, have a great defense. I think they're definitely as far as right now. And I you know like you had mentioned before, the Minnesota Vikings see okay, they don't have a franchise quarterback. You know, DeVar Jackson, we've seen what he can do. He's not the answer in Minnesota. They traded for Sage Rosenfeld. He's not the answer. He's a backup at best. So is Tavares Jackson. Brett Favre can come in for 1 year. Next year they can go up there and they can draft a quarterback to be that future. But they've got a window here, and that's what Minnesota's looking at. We've got a window for this year. We can win a Super Bowl or we can contend for a Super Bowl because of the other pieces we have around us. But with our quarterback, that's going to keep us down. We're going to be, if we keep with Tavares Jackson or Sage Rosenfeld, we're a 9-7 team. We're battling with the Bears for the NFC North, you know, division. You know, maybe we make a wild card, but we're not going to the Super Bowl unless we get a quarterback. They were in the Jay Cutler, you know, sweepstakes, but they didn't have a quarterback to flip back to Denver like Chicago did, so they didn't get, you know, Cutler. So now their second best option is trying to go out there and woo Brett Favre. And I think Minnesota's doing more, you know, kind of got Brett Favre and it's kind of feeding his ego, and that's what Brett Favre likes, you know. And you know, he's a you know professional football player, and you know, the best deal for him is not to play, not to go to these OTAs. Yeah, Trad Greenway says, hey, it's about commitment, but if you're Brett Favre and you can get away with it, you're going to do it. And same, you know, Chad Greenway would be the same way. If he was a legend and could go ahead and just, you know, strap on the patches like Michael Strahan did with the Giants when they made the Super Bowl run, you know, not miss all the training camp, show up and start playing, you know, they're going to be able to try to do at least they can, you know, some of these older players, because they know that they can go in there and do what they can do. And that's what Brett Favre is waiting to see what he can do, if he can push this until June and not have to go to any of these OTAs.
But doesn't that cause a big problem in the locker room?
It caused a big problem last year with the Jets, you know, but they won, you know, but 9 games last year.
I don't get it, because you know what? Players are going to say to the media, oh, it's fine having Brett Favre, and everyone's going to paint a pretty PR picture. But nobody knows what goes on in that locker room. You've been in NFL locker room, so have I. You got 53 players, not including practice squad guys, and there are always going to be those whispers going around. And that happened last year with the Jets. You know, in a private room, he wasn't near his teammates, and that stuff affects what goes on the field, because people, the players say, hey, this guy's not committed to us. We're not going to be committed to him.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, that was what happened last year with the Jets, and I fully expect that to happen, you know, with the Vikings. He's not going to be involved with his teammates, you know. He's not, and he never was. He never, even Green Bay, you know, even, you know, during his later years in Green Bay, he wasn't that as far as teammate friendly, you know, as far as, and that's what they've said about Aaron Rodgers, is that, hey, he took a bunch of his guys to the Kentucky Derby and, you know, taking guys out to dinner and stuff like that, and been a lot more as far as team friendly than what Brett Favre ever has been. So I don't think that's in his nature to be that type of teammate and kind of just guy hanging out with the fellas. He's 40 years old, and most of his teammates are in their, you know, mid-20s. So there's a huge, there's 15 years difference, and I think that's a big thing too as well.
Yeah, but you know what, Justin, you and I are in the same age bracket, and just got someone that's 40 or someone 25 or 30 or 35, you know, there's a way to go out to dinner and hang out and talk. It's not about always going out to all hours of the night. So I think people have a tendency to sugarcoat that. I just think Brett Favre looks for excuse after excuse of why he shouldn't do something or why everything should revolve around him. And the game of football, you have teammates, and it's a team game, and Brett Favre has to be a team player and be a friend to his teammates, not an outcast.
Yeah, but you know what? He's a legend. He's always going to do what he's going to do, and people are going to, teams are always going to want to have Brett Favre until they have to carry this guy off with a stretcher. You know, if he plays in Minnesota this year, and next year is going to be the same thing, I believe. You know, it's going to be, is Brett Favre coming back? Is he retiring? You know, and people get sick of it. The fans, the media, I mean, everybody's sick of the Brett Favre thing. They want it to go away. They want to say, hey, Brett Favre needs to come out and say, hey, this is what I'm going to do. If my shoulder's good, I'm going to go play with the Vikings. You know, if it's bad, I'm staying retired. And, you know, just face the music, be a man, and just say what you're going to do.
And we're joined on the All Access Sports Line by Justin Van Fulpen from Scouts, Inc. Next Level Scouting, the NFL Draft Bible, does a terrific job. You can catch his work at NFLDraftBible.com. Justin, I don't know what to make of this situation. DeMaurice Smith, a new head of the Players Association, working for weeks without a contract. Now a new deal. He has a deal, has a new contract. What do you read in that situation? In this case, something seems a little off to me in how a guy can work that long with a guarantee and not have a contract, and how he can go about his daily duties knowing that there's no guarantee on the table.
Well, you know, I think, you know, yeah, like you said, it's kind of different. You know, most people, as far as, you know, if they're going to have a contract, they're going to have an agreement, they get that signed deal, they know what's going to happen. It's taken some time, and, you know, I think, I mean, a lot of people didn't think, you know, D was going to get the job. You know, a lot of people thought, hey, it was going to be Troy Vincent, you know, Trace Armstrong. So I think a lot of people were caught off by guard when he was elected to be the head of the Players Association, and so, you know, he's an attorney. He wanted some things and, you know, some different languages in the contract. So they said, hey, you know, we'll work on it. And I think, you know, he's got a big gap to fill. You know, the NFL has had labor peace through a number of years, and they've gone through a lot of different CBAs. And, you know, the owners opted out of this past CBA, and, you know, they want to restructure some different things with, as far as how the money is paid out, the rookie, you know, found a salary cap, rookie pay scale there, kind of like what the NBA has, getting, you know, not giving so much guaranteed money, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And the question is that they need to be able to get the CBA done, because right now the NFL is the most popular game, you know, in the nation. It, you know, by far passes the NBA, Major League Baseball, hockey, anything like that. The NFL is king. It's a reality TV show, you know, only one game a week. You know, 39 million people watched the NFL draft a couple weekends ago. It's huge. They've got to get this done, or they're going to take a huge backward step if any games are missed, or if they go without with an uncapped year. They've got to get this done, and he's responsible for it.
Do you feel that they're going to be close to a deal? You see, Justin, I don't feel they're close at all. I think we're going to have a big problem this year trying to get something done, because I feel that both the players and the owners are very far apart. And I think you're looking at a very good chance of there being an uncapped year next year. And if there goes to be an uncapped year and then they want to cap it and start putting a salary cap back on each team, teams are going to be causing a big problem. We'll say, hey, you had an uncapped year last year when I gave this guy $100 million. You can't count that against my cap right now. And I don't see any light at the end of this tunnel.
Well, you know, I mean, the thing is, and I think a lot of people, when they look at the uncapped year, yeah, but there is a lot of different, you know, poison pills that are in there. So they need to get it done because, you know, so far as unrestricted free agency, instead of 4 years, it goes to 6 years. So some guys who were going to be unrestricted free agents now won't be unrestricted free agents. As far as playoff teams can only sign a certain amount of free agents and et cetera, et cetera. So there is, you know, huge different rules if we go to an uncapped year that, you know, people don't want to get to. The owners don't want to get to it. The players don't want to get to it, because say that player who thought he was going to be an unrestricted free agent after his fourth season, you know, and his contract had expired and looking for that second contract, which we all know is that's the big payday, is that second contract. He now, they say, okay, nope, we're going uncapped year. Now I have to wait 2 more years to be an unrestricted free agent. You know, and boom. So I think the players have got to realize that and understand as far as ramifications and say, hey, we got to get something done, and we got to get it done soon. So there isn't any uncapped year. I think they're far apart. I agree with you, Brian, there. But I think they've got to work this thing diligently, and they both have to give something, because, you know, they've got something really good going here, and especially in this bad economy, they've got something really going good here with the NFL. So they've got to go ahead and make sure they get it done and save face and get make sure we keep the same system that we have in place that's going on right now.
There you go. Justin Van Fulpen from the NFL Draft Bible and Next Level Scouting. Justin, before I let you go, I have to ask you one question. Tony Romo is trying to qualify for the U.S. Open. We all know Tony Romo is a good golfer. I don't get this. You know, focus on the Cowboys. Focus on the upcoming season. Tony Romo still not won a playoff game as a starting quarterback. Gotten a big contract. Cowboys are very talented. You look at how far the Eagles are going every year and the moves they're making. You look at the New York Giants every year. And look at the Giants on their defensive line, Rocky Bernard. They signed Boley. And we can go back and forth with Chris Tansey to add to all the guys. Human Yura coming back. Don't you think Tony Romo should be a little more focused on the upcoming season and maybe even focus on what's going on in Dallas right now with Tony DeCamillis gets released from the hospital, and that's wonderful news. I think Tony Romo's priorities are a little bit out of whack right now. Wouldn't you agree?
I think so, too. You know, he wants to be that two sports star like Bo Jackson and Deion Sanders that, you know, we had when we were growing up. But, you know, he, like you said, now hasn't won a playoff game. They didn't even make the playoffs last year. He, you know, had some injury problems last year. They have a, you know, they got rid of T.O. Supposedly he was the malcontent. Okay, now you've got Roy Williams, who had a horrible year last year. He's got to get back in for get his relationship, get his timing down with Roy Williams, with, you know, Jason Witten, with Felix Jones, because this is a make or break year, I think, for the Cowboys. You know, if Wade Phillips doesn't win this year, if they don't get to the playoffs or win a, you know, get to the Super Bowl or win at least a playoff game, I think Wade Phillips is gone. And they could blow up that roster. We've seen what the, you know, they did with T.O., who a lot of people thought was untouchable because of the big, you know, contract that he got. And Jerry Jones doesn't care about money. He wants to win. So if Tony Romo doesn't step up for the plate, he might not have another, might have another couple of years left there in Dallas, but he doesn't start producing. You could see, you know, Mr. Jones go with someone else there at the quarterback position.
I agree. And before I let you go, it just shows to me that Donovan McNabb is working out. He's already spoken publicly on all the players they brought in, and Giants making the moves, and they're all focused. And to me, it doesn't seem like this Dallas Cowboys team is focused.
Well, when have they been since the Aikman, Irving, you know, Emmitt Smith days? They haven't, you know. And they've won one playoff game since that those big three, you know, have left. And I don't think they're going to – I like you said, I like what the Giants have done. I think what the Eagles have done on the offensive side of the ball, giving Donovan McNabb some more weapons. I think, you know, I think the Eagles and the Giants are going to be battling for that division title, and maybe the Cowboys get a wild card this season.
There you go. That's going to be their best bet. Wade Phillips is now all of a sudden a lame duck coach. Justin, again, you're a stud. I always appreciate the time, my friend. Always great to have you on the NFL Spectacular. Appreciate the time, and I'll be talking to you soon, my friend.
Cool. Talk to you later, man.
You got it. That's Justin Van Fulpen from Next Level Scouting and the NFL Draft Bible. You can catch his terrific work on the website. Also want to thank Dan Moglione from the NFL Draft Bible, College Football Insider, talking about Brett Favre and some news around the National Football League. The NFL Spectacular is on every Tuesday and Thursday from 5 to 6. We will be back this Thursday at 5 o'clock. Your calls are always welcome. Couple quick minutes here on the show, 347-945-6275. If you ever wanted to get in on the show, I'm B-Spec Brian Spector. Taking you the next couple of minutes. As I said before, we will be back Thursday night, 5 to 6. We'll be bringing you a lot of big guests, college football, NFL. We'll talk about any team you want to talk about, your favorite team, what's going on. You want to give your input. It's always accepted here on the show. Brett Favre. Just want to be over with already. Make a decision. You want to come back and play? Great. Come back, play, have your press conference, have your song and your dance, put on your Minnesota purple, and everything is just fine. It's at that point. Just do that already. Because I don't give a damn. I don't think anybody else gives a crap either. Again, want to thank Justin Van Fulpen, Dan Moglione for their time here on the NFL Spectacular. Again, we will be back Thursday, 5 p.m. Eastern time, taking you from that hour, taking your phone calls at 347-945-6275. Again, I'm B-Spec. Brian Spector. We'll talk more about other news around the NFL on Thursday. Some other big guests will be joining us on the show as well. Again, thanking all of my guests and my panel for today. Looking forward to all your phone calls on Thursday. Thank you for joining us this Tuesday afternoon. We'll be back again Thursday at 5 o'clock. Thanks again to all my guests. Everyone out there, have a terrific night. We'll see you back Thursday, 5 o'clock Eastern time, talking more football. Have a good one, everybody.